Lord lays it on your heart, brother.
Thank you, brother. I have that problem sometimes. My tongue is so big that it laps around my mouth and the words just don't come out like they're supposed to. And anyway, appreciate Brother Fayard. I feel like I should have known him. I've heard about him for years through my parents and through others that have had him. But I've never, ever got to meet him until tonight. So we're glad to finally put a face to that name and everything that we've heard so much about. Let's get into the message tonight. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I wasn't exactly sure what this was this week, so I wasn't real sure how to prepare. Not knowing the church, not having been here, not knowing very much. In fact, I thought it was a revival, but then my brother said, no, last night, he said, it's an institute. And, boy, that scared me to death. I don't know what an institute is. So that really blew my mind. So I'm just going to preach. You can call it a revival, an institute, or whatever you want. But I just want to share some things that God has given to me recently. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I want to speak tonight from verse 4, that your joy may be full. Now, I don't know about Missouri. I've only been in the state once or twice when I came to St. Louis on business. This is the farthest into Missouri I have ever been. But I know down in Kentucky, there's a lot of Christians today that are just simply not happy. They are miserable. And they make everybody around them miserable. I'm not talking about the occasional time when you're under a lot of stress and things are going bad and maybe you have a bad day or a bad moment, but I'm talking about people who just never seem to be happy about anything. They criticize everything and everybody. They grump about everything. They always go around looking like they ate a green persimmon pie or something. They just look miserable. They portray a pitiful picture of a Christian to everyone they come in contact with. People who meet them say, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. Folks, I'm here to tell you, that is not the way God intended His children to be. John said, these things write we unto you so that your joy can be full, so that you can enjoy life, so that you can be happy. Serving God should not be the most miserable thing you've ever done in your life. Oh, good grief. Gotta serve God again today. Oh, I wish I could get sick so I could stay home. I know people like that. And I bet if you're honest, you do too. I want to look tonight. Many of my verses will be right here in this same chapter. And I want to give you not a secret. There is no secret to happiness. But I want to give you some biblical references so that you can start enjoying life instead of enduring it. First of all, if you want to have a full joy, you got to know Jesus Christ. I'm convinced lost people can never have a full joy. They can't. John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, we have handled of the Word of life, I write this unto you so your joy can be full. Brother, knowing Jesus Christ, that alone should make you happy. I understand people who are lost, and I've often said, I don't see how lost people make it in life. I really don't. There's enough problems for us who are saved that we have a struggle, but lost people have nothing. If you want to know, if you want a full joy, get to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Know Him in salvation, and I'm not going to jump side to side, election, human responsibility. I think you know where that is. But know Jesus Christ. If you're lost, I plead with you, trust Him with all of your heart. And if you're saved, get to know Him better. You know, I've been married coming up on 33 years very soon. I know you didn't think she could stand me that long, did you? But I tell you what, the more I'm around my wife, the more I get to know her. And the more I get to know her, the more I appreciate her and love her. And in fact, I don't even like to be away from her. Get to know Jesus. Spend some time. Study Him. You know, when my wife and I were dating, we would write love letters. You know, Jesus has written you one of the greatest letters that you can ever have. Have you ever read it? Don't raise your hand. I ask a lot of questions, and my church has learned when I ask a question, I don't want you to answer. Had a little 4-year-old boy, didn't know that one time, and I asked a question and he yelled out the answer as loud as he could. But have you ever read the Bible through? I don't know my Bible very well. You know what? You're never going to know it until you study it. John said, I want your joy to be full. Get to know Jesus Christ. Verse 3, share Jesus with others. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. You know, one of the greatest ways to find joy, go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I ran into a lady the other day. In fact, I worked in a Christian organization, using Christian loosely. I mean, we're all saved, but we're not all Baptist, unfortunately. But I went into the bookstore and I was talking to the lady, and she said, and she was just bubbling. She said, can I share a blessing with you? And I said, sure. She said, I had a chance to witness to a man yesterday and tell him about Jesus Christ. And she said, you know what? He got saved. And man, she was just bubbling over and she was excited and she was happy. Why? She told somebody. She declared Jesus Christ. You want joy? Tell others about Jesus Christ. Tell you what, you'll soon forget all of your problems. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Find somebody. I'm going to tell you this the first night, because if I don't, my brother's going to. Mom, you know, has got one of those books about first step, first all of this stuff. She's got it in her book, honest, that I started talking at, what was it, 2 months or 3 months, some unbelievable date, and I haven't shut up since. So talking for me comes easy. I said, I don't meet people that well. Practice it. You're never going to improve until you practice telling people about Jesus Christ. One of my favorite lines is, you get on the elevator, which way are you going? Number 4, which way is your last trip going to be? That'll get their attention. I was in a parking lot the other day. It was beautiful. And the lady in front of me, I said, how are you today? And she said, I'm fine. I said, isn't this a beautiful day? And she said, yes, it's gorgeous. I said, how's your eternity going to be? I said, boy, you're blunt. Now, I talk. It just comes natural. But I'm saying, if you want a full joy, tell others about Jesus Christ. It will fill you with a joy and a peace and a happiness that you cannot get if the Bengals ever win a game. I'm from Cincinnati. That's an inside joke, but I'm telling you, share Jesus Christ with others. You'll have happiness. Fourthly, fellowship with others around God. Look at what he said in verse 3. We have declared that which we have seen and heard, so that we, or ye, may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with other people. Now, I'm the type of person, you put me in a room by myself for very long, and I'm going to be climbing the walls. I love fellowship. I said, you know, you mark it down, I'm telling you. You pick out those people that are always grumbling, always criticizing, always finding fault, always negative, and say, let's go over to the preacher's house and pop some popcorn. I don't want to go over there. They don't want to do anything except grumble. Get around other Christian people. We have that which we have seen and heard, declare we, so that you can have fellowship with us. You know, this is going to seem strange, but occasionally I get down. You know, you just get bliss. When I get like that, I want to go home, get in my recliner, run the kids out, run Kathy out, turn on the TV, and just mope. But you know what I really need to do, and it works because I've done it. Get up out of the recliner and go find somebody that loves the Lord and fellowship. It's hard to mope when you're around Christian people. Fellowship with us. Not only that, but our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I like to go watch the Reds play. Oh, boy, I keep forgetting. Y'all don't know about Cincinnati, do you? I keep forgetting I'm in Missouri, but you know, we have a baseball team, I think, that's called the Cincinnati Reds, and I like to go watch them. You know what? I just don't have a lot of fellowship with those people in the stadium. Every time I go, I'm sitting there and the guy behind me is pouring booze all over the place. The guys in front of me are downing one after the other. And I mean, they're big ones. I just can't get excited about fellowshipping with them. But I can get around God's people who love the Lord and who are in fellowship with the Father and who are in fellowship with the Son. And brother, we can fellowship. We can laugh. We can have fun. And we can do it around God the Father and God the Son. I don't know what y'all do for fellowship, but if you don't, I encourage you. Brother, in this day and time, we need Christian fellowship. And if you're one of those people that mope around all the time, don't find somebody else that mopes just as bad as you. Find somebody that's in fellowship with the Father and in fellowship with the Son, and you fellowship with them, and they will get you in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and you both can fellowship together and have a full joy in the process. Verse 5, how to have a full joy. We can rejoice that God is light and has no darkness. If we this then is the message which ye have heard of us, and declare that we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I've got some very good friends, one or two anyway. But you know what? Both of my friends have areas of darkness in their life. You know, even the men that I consider my best friends have flaws. God has no darkness at all. You can search and search. There is no darkness at all. He's perfect light. I told my church one time, I had heard someone else, they were complaining that one of their members sat there and wrote down every mistake. So I went back to our church and I said, if you folks want to try that, you better buy a big notebook. I mean, you're going to need it. But in Him, God is light, and there's no darkness. That's somebody you can count on. I've had friends let me down. I've had friends disappoint me. But God has no darkness at all. Well, verse 6, if you want to have joy, abstain from sin. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. I'm sometimes been known for, as sweet and loving as I am, I've gotten the reputation of being mean sometimes. But you know why most people who are grumpy? They've got unconfessed sin in their life that they haven't dealt with. If you say you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and you walk in sin, you're a liar. I didn't say that. John did. Unconfessed sin will kill your joy. I can testify. Brother, I'm trying to help some of our young people not make some of the same mistakes that I've made. Listen, when you sin, I don't care if you're a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. When you sin, you can say you have fellowship, but you're a liar. And people, you mark it down. I have never, ever, ever seen an exception yet when people begin to criticize and find fault and complain and nitpick. You search them real good and they've got some sin in their life that they're not letting go of. Sin will make you grumpy. Sin will alienate you from the Father. Sin will alienate you from your fellow Christians. Sin will rob you of your joy. And you'll go around just, you know, like I said, look like you ate a persimmon pie, green persimmon pie. Listen, God didn't intend. That's why He said that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Because He wants you to have a full joy. And you cannot do it if you're walking in darkness. You can't be a hypocrite and have a full joy. Well, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have, not should, could, maybe, might, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walk in the light. You're taping these. I better not tell a illustration. Whoever's recording this, bleep this part out, will you? We've got a lady in our church that, I mean, she is misery personified. She has no fellowship. She comes in late, out the door first thing. She has no fellowship. And I preached this a few weeks ago at our church. If she would confess her sin and walk in the light, you will have fellowship. I used the illustration, and I don't know y'all, so if y'all want me to leave in the morning, I understand. I'm Baptist, I'm Independent Baptist, I'm Fundamental Baptist. But if a man is saved, we can still have some degree of fellowship. Because we have the same Father, we have the same brother. We may disagree on a lot of things in Scripture, but we can still have fellowship because even though we may be different, He's walking in the light, I'm walking in the light. Brother, we have fellowship. I can go to some place I've never been in my entire life and meet somebody that's saved, and we instantly have something in common that we can fellowship about. I'll prove it. I was at the airport the other night. My son was on spring break in college. He was flying down to Florida. I took him to the airport, and like I said, I talked to everybody. We're standing there and I'm watching him walk down that long tunnel and go through the security and walk on back, and there's a lady watching her daughter do the same thing. So I turned around and I said, you know, we began talking and got off on religion. Come to find out, she's saved. Now, she's not Baptist, but she's saved. Brother, we stood there and talked long after our kids had already landed in Florida. I mean, you know. We have fellowship if we're walking in the light. If you're not having fellowship, you better see if you're in the light. Now, let's switch switch gears real quick. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. By the way, I'll have more to say about this later on, but y'all may not be back. That's why a lot of preachers can't get along today. They're not walking in the light. I mean, and I'll have more about that later. John 10, 10. Skip down to the middle part. I am come that they might have life, and notice, and that they might have it more abundantly. I said, Jesus came to save your soul. That's only the beginning. He didn't just come to give you eternal life and that's it. He came to give you an abundant life. And if I understand this, that's here and now. Not in heaven. I came to give you life. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Brother, He came to enable us to fully enjoy life. Now, I know sometimes it gets hard. Things are tough. The economy, you know, we could argue the economy. We could argue about the war in Iraq. We could argue about all kinds of things. It's very bleak. Unless you realize Jesus Christ came to lift our minds and our hearts above those things so that we can have an abundant life. I feel sorry. I do. I feel sorry for people that just, well, they're just miserable. The only thing I can think of that's worse than knowing people like that would be if you were married to somebody like that. Oh, perish the thought, please. They're miserable. They make their home miserable. They make their church miserable. They make their kids miserable. They make everybody around them miserable. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ did not come to make your life miserable. He came to give you a purpose in life. A purpose to live. Well, Galatians 5:22, you can read it. The fruit of the Spirit is... What's the second word in that verse? Joy. You know what? I had a guy ask me a week and a half ago. He was a preacher. Independent, fundamental, sovereign grace, local church Baptist, just so you'll know. He said, how do you define being filled with the Spirit? And I said, well, I'd have to say a person that has the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't choose to love. You do. Exactly. It's a fruit. It just springs forth. It bursts out. If the sap is flowing within, it pushes the fruit out. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know how I know a lot of people aren't filled with the Spirit? Because they're bitter, they're angry, they're grumbling, they're complaining, they're griping, they're criticizing, they're finding fault. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. How much joy do you have? Many people are miserable because they don't know how to give and receive love. Now, I got to warn you, And Brother Reynolds, if I'm out of order, you tell me. I'm a hugger. Okay? I'm a hugger. I can't stay mad at people. By the way, I hug men and women, so don't think there's anything, you know. There is just something that when you have the same father, the same brother, the same spirit, brother, you can't help but love that brother. As obnoxious as he may be, you can't help but love him. If I can love my brother all of these years, I'm telling you, the rest of you shouldn't have any problems. But if you don't love other people, you better get down on your knees and confess your sin and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and bring forth fruit. Well, I'm not going to read these. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Blessed is the man. Another possible translation of the word blessed is happy. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? Read those verses. And try them sometime. And then, I forgot what time I started. I want to close with one final verse. Luke chapter 8. Like I said, many of my messages will, you'll see, very definitely tied together. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. It's the parable of the sower there. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Now, you can take whatever application you want to take on that verse. And this is an application, and I just explained to my church Sunday the difference between an interpretation and an application. This is an application. Notice, there was nothing wrong with the seed. The seed had the potential to bring forth the harvest wherever it was. There was nothing wrong with the seed. The problem was the birds, the lack of roots and moisture, and the cares of the world kept the seed from reaching its potential. There was nothing wrong with the seed. The Word of God is capable, I don't care how pessimistic you are, the Word of God is capable of producing genuine joy. The problem is not with the seed. The problem is we've allowed other things to rob us of our joy. We've let the birds come and steal it. The lack of roots and moisture have sapped what little strength we have out of us. And then the cares of the world. We live in a depressing world. I'm not going to be, I'm not totally blind. It's a depressing world. And if you're trying to make it through by yourself, even if you're saved, if you're not relying on the seed of God's Word and the power of God's Word to give you love and joy and peace, you're never going to have it. I don't care how pessimistic you are, God's Word can turn you in to a joy-filled person. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem's not the Bible. The problem's not the church. The problem's not the preacher. The problem is the ground it fell on. And if you're not full of joy, you better examine your ground and see why God's Word is not taking root into your heart and why God's Spirit is not producing fruit. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. These things have I written unto you that your joy might be full. If you don't have it, go home and examine yourself and get right with God. Brother Reynolds.